Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Bev, Larissa, and Libby, too. And I was just musing yesterday as I was wandering around in the sanctuary how wonderful the energy is in here, because in the 15 years we've been here, we've imbued it with so much spiritual power through the music, through the prayers, through all the things we've done here, all the celebrations. So just coming in here, you can feel that consciousness, and it helps us too, doesn't it? Because we get that sense of being filled up again, so we can go back into our world. And so we give thanks to all the many events that have happened here, you know, and we got the concerts coming up again, and they fill the whole atmosphere with a palpable love and possibility, and it's a wonderful thing. So thank you all, because we did it, you know. It's all of us, isn't it, contributing our energy to create the changed atmosphere in this space, and it cannot be contained here. It goes forth to bless in our world, yeah? So that's how differences happen. People of goodwill determining to come together in peace, yeah? And that's what we're about, isn't it? People of goodwill determining to come together in peace. Amen. When I was a kid, the history lesson would come around. A lot of the kids in the class would say, oh my God, history, it's boring. You know, I hate history. But I always loved history. It was fascinating. And I grew up in the 60s, so it was old time history, you know, where you had to memorize dates and everything, you know, which is kind of boring. But for me, there's a fascination to all the things that have gone before us, the various cultural changes, all the cultures of this world and all the various histories, and not just political history, but cultural history, social history. It's fascinating, isn't it? History can teach us so much, but the key to all of it is we cannot live in the past, right? We can learn a lot from the past, but you cannot live from it. And that's the key. I think that's why people don't like history, because they think, oh, you know, I don't want to keep looking back. And it's important that we don't. We have to move forward. Yes, absolutely. We can learn a lot from it, but I don't want to be stuck in it. Cultures that extol tradition and history above everything else tend to disappear and die. If you notice this, if you look at world history, those people that you know, lift up the past and it's more important than the now, they eventually die, because we got to keep moving forward, yes? There's got to be that newness, that ability to look forward, true spiritually, true in societal terms, and true in every aspect of our lives, I think. There's that willingness to, as the sermon says, looking ahead, keeping changing, unfolding, deepening our understanding of who we are as beings on this planet, yeah? Now, an interesting thing happened between 2,600 years ago and 2,000 years ago, right? In that sort of 600-year period of history. Think about it. We had the Buddha. We had the writing of the Bible. We had Zoroastra. We had Lao Tzu writing the Tao Te Ching. We had the great Hindus writing the Upanishads and the Gita. We had the apotheosis of it all at the end of that period, Jesus and the Gospels, right? So we got a huge body of amazing literature and religion and wisdom and understanding, right? That we can draw upon today. So far, so good. But I would suggest it's history, isn't it? It's an historic document, right? All these wonderful things. And the danger is we say, well, we've received our final revelation through these great books, right? And so there's nothing new to learn. Is that correct? It's absolutely not correct, is it? We have to discover new revelations, new understanding. I love those books. Don't get me wrong. I read them every day. But I also know that I am not limited to them, yes? They can inspire me, but the revelation must come when? Now. What does revelation mean, anyway? To reveal, right? And to reveal can't happen in the past. I can't have a revelation from in the past. I can only have a revelation now in this moment, right? So we have to have the courage to say those books were great, but even greater books could be written, right? Greater understanding is coming. We don't have to live in the past. It's not the final understanding of everything about our humanness or our adventure on planet Earth. And I think this is so crucial at the present time, you know, is that we don't buy into that idea. Because there's this idea of the golden age. Everybody has a golden age. And it seems, you know, the Greeks had their golden age. The Irish have the land of Tir na n'Og, the land of endless summer. And you know what it is? It's kind of out west, west of Ireland in the ocean. And as you sail towards it, it always gets further away. And it's sort of never to be found. It's like that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You know, you're getting closer to it, and then it's further away. And I think this is the thing about the golden age, you know, this idea of if only I could get back to this golden age, all would be well. Well, I don't think there ever was a golden age, right? When was your golden age? Was it when you were 1 hour when you were 13 or something? It was just a perfect hour. I was 13 and I wasn't worrying about anything. I was reading about Tiger Woods the other day, and he was saying that his perfect time was when he was 11, because he was already playing golf, and he won all the tournaments that year, and it was a superb year. He had no worries. Adolescence hadn't happened yet, I guess, and all that. And he said, the rest of my life has been trying to get back and replicate year 11. Isn't that interesting? When I was 11 years old, given all the things that he achieved in his life before he crashed and burned, and yet he was still trying to replicate that golden age. In a way, it's interesting, but it's sad in another way, because he could never get back to that innocent time. I used to dwell in nostalgia myself, and I don't go there anymore, because I know that the greatest time is when it's happening right now, right? In forward thinking. If you're climbing a mountain, what do they say? Don't look down. And it's the same with life. Don't look back, right? Keep moving forward into life. Yeah, get that revelation that comes only in this particular moment. We are not conditioned by our past, right? We are not limited. We have great values that we can build on, but that's not just tradition. Values change, they morph. As I understand more, what happens to my values? They deepen, yeah? They expand. I loved it the other day. There was a YouTube of Joe Biden, and Joe Biden had just given a speech, and somebody had asked him, some journalist asked him a question about the refugees after the speech. He was walking back to his helicopter or wherever he was going, and he stopped, and for a moment he talked with the guy. And I thought it was very beautiful, because oftentimes, you know, they're busy, they got to rush off, they don't take the time. Somebody asked him about what about the refugees and what about ISIS. And he just turned to the person directly and said, listen, we cannot let anything affect our values. You know, just because atrocities happen doesn't mean that we're going to give up all our values and act differently because of a few crazy things. And he says, ISIS is no existential threat to America. We have to remember what's really going on, how powerful we truly are, and how the values are so important. And I thought, right on. In fact, I cried. And my wife said, you're so silly. You're such a softy. But I don't know, but it moved me because it was so needed at that point to reinforce that, you know, in this time when we're all a little crazy about stuff, to remember, no, we have values that are more important than anything else, actually, and they must deepen, they must unfold, we must see them in an expansive way possible, right? Yes? To let it unfold for us. The Tao. Although it was written 2,600 years ago, it has some good stuff in it. It may be history, but it's living history. And I want to read chapter 67 in this regard. Because we have to ask ourselves, okay, if I want to look forward, and rather than living and looking backwards at life, how? Well, we do it by taking spirit on a journey with us, because we are of spirit, right? So this is the key. In order to live successfully, I must remember that I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws, yes? That's my key. That's my core understanding. I cannot do it alone. I need spirit. Luckily, God has given me and each of us the spirit. The Tao puts it this way. He says, some say that my teaching is nonsense. You know, if you're imbued in the world and all the limited possibilities, like Libby was saying, of the world, like when she first came to the church 14 years ago, things seemed hopeless. You know, it drags us down, and spiritual things seem silly. Some say my teaching is nonsense. Others call it lofty but impractical. Well, it's the opposite of that, but it seems that way sometimes, you know. That's Pollyanna. It's all about love, yeah. But those who have looked inside themselves, there's the key, those who have looked inside themselves. If you're going to go on this journey, the first place to look is within, not out in the Western Ocean trying to find the land of endless summer, not going back to Greece or Rome to find the golden age. No, look within yourself to find that beautiful place. But those who have looked inside themselves, this nonsense makes perfect sense. And that's why we gather every Sunday at Unity. Because this nonsense makes perfect sense. Yeah. And to those who put it into practice, this loftiness has roots that go deep. Now, I think that's a very profound line. To those who put it into practice, not just talk about it, but are willing to live it, right? In one way, it doesn't have to be in all ways, but put into practice some truth that you know on a daily basis in your life, right? Because if you do that, this loftiness has roots that go deep. Folks, it's like the tree. If it dares to grow, what happens next? The roots go down. If the tree doesn't want to grow, the roots are shallow. And it's the same with us. When we dare to live it, the roots go down. We find a greater groundedness. We found a greater sense of stability and power. Yes? This happens, and the roots aren't going to go down unless we are willing to live it. Don't worry about the water. Where's the water coming from? No, it's not about that. It's my willingness to live it. The roots will go down. I'll find all the water I need. Sometimes we're obsessed with the water. You know what I'm talking about symbolically? Where's my water? I'm not going to grow unless I get my water. Don't worry about the water. Just remember your work that is yours to do. Do it. The taproot will go down. You'll find the water. We put it backwards. The world puts it backwards. It thinks that I'm not going to succeed until I get the money. Wrong. Once I have a success attitude of consciousness, the money will flow to that. Yes? So it's turning it around. It's knowing that it's an inside job. Then he goes on to give us three tools. He said, I have just three things to teach. Simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate toward yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. What do you think? Do they make sense? Simple, patient, compassionate. The world is very complicated, isn't it? So it's nice to keep it simple, sweetheart. You know what I'm saying? Keep it simple. Do the one thing that is yours to do this day. Yeah? What might it be? What might it be that we could do today? Be kind to somebody. Simple as that. Help somebody out. Make that phone call. Listen without judgment. That's huge. Do the right thing according to your lights, right? What seems to be the right thing for you at that given time. Because the roots will go down. Just doing those things, you will feel more grounded and capable. Believe me, it works. And we can then do the next right thing. Keep it simple. One moment, one step, one simple activity at a time, yeah? That's what makes all the difference. Patient. Man, there's enough reasons to be patient in this world, isn't there? Because the world is crazy. And I'm crazy too, because you can't say, yeah, the world's crazy, but I'm fine. No, we are all part of this, aren't we? So we're all part of the craziness. So we have to be patient with ourselves and with others, right? What does patience give us? It's the non-judgmental. I'm not reacting all the time. I get to sit back and look a little bit more, right, before I jump in and do stupid things. Gives me confidence, okay, because I'm remembering who I am in truth. And endurance to keep on keeping on, one day at a time. calmness gives me a certain sense of calm, which enables me then to be compassionate, right? And you notice what he says there? He says, compassionate towards oneself, you reconcile all beings in the world. Not compassionate to others. Interesting, isn't it? If you are compassionate and accepting to yourself and remember that you're a capable being, you're a beautiful child of God, then you can be loving to others, right? But first it has to happen within yourself, yes? To those who have looked inside themselves and found that they are acceptable. Are you acceptable? Do you deserve your place on this planet?
Absolutely.
Of course you do. Absolutely. You know, in Joshua 3:5, Joshua says this to the people of Israel. And this is before a momentous occasion, right? It's before they cross over the Jordan to get into the promised land. And they've been trying, okay? They've been trying for 40 years. Moses tried to lead them into the promised land, but they ended up wandering around in the wilderness, right? They tried their best, but it didn't work. And so Joshua is the man to help them across this seeming barrier, this seeming obstacle. And he says these words, they're very profound words, very simple. He says this, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things. Now, it's very simple, isn't it? And it sounds old-timey religion, you know, sanctify yourself in the blood of the Lamb. That's old-timey thinking. What does it mean to sanctify yourself? What does it mean? It means to make yourself holy, right? And whole. To sanctify yourself. Well, what is that for you? What are you going to do to sanctify yourself? I love that phrase, sanctify yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Be caring. Remember who you are. You are a spiritual being, right? I am holy. I am whole and holy. The truth of me is sanctified. I am equipped. I am ready to go, right? I am looking ahead with my life. So when we remember that, that's all you need. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonderful things. It's like A and B. B follows A. If you sanctify yourself, wonderful things will happen. If you tell yourself that I'm a fear-based, miserable, reactive, distracted, horrible, nasty person, will the Lord do wonderful things? I don't think so. The Lord may be doing wonderful things, but you will not be able to see them, right? Because you're living in the past. You're not looking ahead. Sanctification enables us to look ahead, yeah? To look into the heart of Spirit and allow Spirit to guide us forward. What's that? To know that God is with you, right? And then the roots go down. You're stable. You're able. You're stable and you're able. Jesus, of course, takes it even a step further because Jesus was totally outside the box and put like the Tao, turns everything on its head. And I want to read the Beatitudes from this translation that I love right now. It's the Common English Bible. And I love the way it phrases things. We're familiar with the Beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. But let your head get a hold of this. And let your heart get a hold of what he's saying here. Because it's out-of-the-box thinking. He says, happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Wow.
Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness because they will be fed until they're full. Happy are people who show mercy because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace because they will be called God's children. And happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous. Because then the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now those are out-of-the-box things, aren't they? The first one, you know, the normal translation is poor in spirit. But I like this. Happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. What does that mean? Let go and let God. When you can't do it, God can. You know, if you break through the barrier of hopelessness, you either die or you're reborn, right? And some of us die. I know people who have committed suicide because everything was so hopeless, that was it for them. But it doesn't have to be like that, right? It can be that barrier that we're breaking across, breaking open to new understanding of life. Yeah, like Libby said very honestly earlier on when she first came to the church, right? It was a little hopeless, a little messy. But there's life beyond that. That's what Jesus is promising here. Happy are people who grieve because they will be glad. In other words, they're broken open again. There's a sort of a theme here, isn't there? Of breaking open, of letting go and letting God, right? Of moving forward with your life. It's not given to the power brokers. It's not given to the people who are comfortable or who have everything or the complacent or the people who wear suits all the time. Whoops. Hello. And nothing wrong with wearing a suit, by the way. It's just when you're identified by your suit, right? That's why I like to mix it up. Sometimes I'm in jeans, sometimes I'm wearing a suit, because it's not about what you're wearing, it's about who you are, yes? So we could have a suit Sunday, couldn't we? Everybody comes in suits. That'll never happen. Zoot suits. I like this one. Happy are people who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be fed until they are full. What does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? This is another old-timey word, righteousness. I am willing to do what I consider to be the right thing to do at this particular time in my life, and I will be fed as a result, right? There's that water, that provision that comes to me because I choose to do what I consider to be the right thing. How do you know it's the right thing? Because it feels right at that particular moment. It doesn't have to be absolutely right. You don't have to. Some of us are frozen. We can't act because we're not sure I got it all right. I don't think I fully understand. You've got to act in a certain degree of ignorance, right? You're never going to have the whole picture, but it feels right, so you do it. And you get new information because you're moving forward with your life. On that journey. You know, T.S. Eliot said, old men, old women should be explorers, and I think young people are generally explorers. So what's being said is, we all need to be explorers, right? And to explore means I'm going into new fields, new possibilities, new understanding, right? I am looking ahead. Don't look back, look straight ahead. What's that song? Remember that song? Yeah, I was singing it at the beginning of the services. I've forgotten it now again, but sing it for us. Don't look back, look straight ahead. Don't something or other, like the good man said, don't look back, look straight ahead. Yeah. All right, that fell apart like a lead balloon. Never mind. I don't think we're going to do this sermon for the recording on. We'll do the 9:30. No, they were both good. I want to get the last one, though. Happy are those whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Who are we harassed by, folks? It has to be ourselves and our own stupidity, you know. If we think it's other people who got issues, we wouldn't see the issues unless they were in us, right? So to give it up, blaming other people for all the harassment you feel, it's in you, because unless you have it within you, you wouldn't see it anywhere else. So it's salutary. It's a way of breaking open from that old way of thinking again. So all these Beatitudes are about the same thing, aren't they? They're about, I'm opening to a better life. I am not limited in any way. You just got to keep the faith. Keep looking forward. Sanctify yourself. That's what I would ask you to do this week, is to go away and examine, what does that mean? How do I sanctify myself? How do I make myself whole? How do I remember my joy, my love, the essence of who I am? It will give you roots, and you will be able to live life more fully and completely if you do that work. Right? That's what I'm going to do. I've been doing it last week, actually. I love that phrase. I did some act of kindness for someone this week, and because I'm a minister, I'm supposed to do stuff like that. And I wanted confirmation that I did the right thing. So I opened my Bible, like I sometimes do, and it opened it up to John, the end of John, and it said, where Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I thought, okay, I did the right thing. You know, there's the confirmation. Sanctify yourself, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep, do something good. And let's end with Jesus again. In John 16:33, he says this. He said, in the world, there is distress. Yeah, in the world, there is distress. But be encouraged, because I have conquered and overcome the world. And he's talking about the Christ within us. Yeah, there's distress out there and in us and all craziness. But be encouraged, right? Because the Christ in us has overcome the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.